¡Órale!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFB podcast. I'm Jorge Georgi Martin, and I'm joined by my primos, Ricky Torres and Hector Reyes. Hey, guys.
What's up, George? What's up, Rick?
Hey, it's week three of our podcast. And after we had our fun talking about the most important quarter position in football last week, it's time to get into the most important position in fantasy, Los Caballos, the running backs.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, pick them early, right, guys?
Always.
Just make sure you're stacked.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, but first we wanted to get into something that we hope you enjoy. So, you know, us as Latinos, our culture is filled with storytelling. Los cuentos. Bueno, there may not be a greater form of storytelling than novelas. Remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah, we know it's not just abuelita and moms watching them. You know, we all watched them when we were kids.
Hey, I watched Days of Our Lives growing up too, man. So that counts too, right?
And wasn't that it? You know, the lies, the cheating, the deceit, the gasping stares, the raised eyebrows, they were all there every day and every night. So
yes.
In fact, heck, you compared fantasy football bad beats to novelas, right?
Oh yeah, the drama. There's always drama. A bad beat is very much the heartbreak. What did I call it? El corazón roto. It hurts. When you get a bad beat, it hurts for sure.
So that's what we're going to call bad beats, the novelas. We're going to call it corazón roto. So we'll introduce this here and there, maybe even do it once a week if we can. But you know how they are. You know, it's the running back fumbling at the goal line, the other team's player going off on Monday Night Football. You know, we've all seen these moments when you just get punched in the gut. So we've all had it happen. Ricky, even though you win all the time, I'm sure you've had a bad beat here and there.
Yeah, and I mean, just like it, because I'm such a winner, it was in the championship. I remember I was playing Manny, and it was Monday Night Football, and the day before it was Christmas, and he was down by like 20 points, and I had Golden Tate, he had Dak Prescott. Manny's already telling me, oh, Ricky, you got it, you got it, you got it. And I'm trying to keep a tight lip. I'm saying, you know what, it can be, you know, anything can happen. But I drank a little bit more, so then I got a little cocky. And lo and behold, the next night, 2016, Dak threw three touchdowns. Even Dez Bryant threw a touchdown. And Golden Tate fumbled on the 5-yard line with minutes left. And I was mad because all I needed was one touchdown. All I needed was 5 points to win it. And it was horrible. But, I mean, hey, I got the championship the next year. And that same year, I got two other championships. So that softened the blow, but it still hurt. Because our Familia League is just, to win that league is just, I love it. It's my favorite thing to do every year.
There you go. It's like Christmas, right?
I'll have to tell you one of these days when I actually do it.
There you go. Hey, well, we know what you meant. It's good, George. It's good, man.
How about you, Heck? What's yours?
Oh, man. Again, just like Rick, I was playing Manny. This is back maybe, I don't know, 2013, 2014. Again, same thing. I was up 35, I think. And I was, you know, cocky. You know, he was already telling me same thing in our Familia League. He was already telling me, you got it. You know, congratulations. I'm in the backyard barbecuing. I got my phone. I'm already done, and I'm up by 35. He has Victor Cruz in the late Sunday game and the Giants kicker. So I'm thinking I'm good. I'm barbecuing, you know, my, you know, whatever it is, burgers and dogs and whatnot. And I'm checking my phone, and, you know, Victor Cruz gets a touchdown. I'm like, okay, whatever. No, I'm good. You know, later on, Cruz got another touchdown. And, of course, you know, the kicker's got the extra points and a couple of field goals. From being up 35, I end up losing. And to this day, I'm still upset about it. So, yeah, these can definitely nag at you even years after.
Yes, they hurt for a while.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a couple. I actually have one that two that really stick at me. I'm going to try and keep them close because I couldn't break it down to one. Sorry, guys. Right. One was, Ricky, it was the week before your defeat at the hands of Manny. You and I were locking up in the semifinals, and we were both over 100 points. We were both having a good week. And I had, but I knew something was up because in the early game, I had Devontae Adams, who was my number one receiver. He dropped two balls in the end zone, and he never dropped anything. I know it was cold that day, but he never dropped anything. Then in the 1 o'clock game, I had Todd Gurley get stuffed at the 1 yard line. And I was just like, oh, geez, ay, mijo, what's going to happen? But I was only down by less than 10 points, and Monday Night Football was coming up. I had Jonathan Stewart going, and Ricky, you were done. And all of a sudden, Stewart in the third quarter, he's got me back to within 5 points of you, and he's down at the 1 yard line. I said, give it to Stewart, give it to Stewart. They gave it to Stewart. Stuffed at the line. Nada. Then they give it to him on second down. Otra vez, stuffed at the 1 yard line. And then he didn't get another point, and I lost by 5 points. So all of those 30 points that were stuffed at the 1 yard line are dropped.
Yep.
I feel bad because that one doesn't stick in my head at all.
You remember the corazón roto.
The next week I just had horrible heartbreak, so.
Well, the other one was this one was crazy. It was in 2002. I was in the finals, and for some reason we were playing in the final week, the finals in the week 17. So it was in a work league when I was at DirecTV, and I had the Tampa Bay defense when they were the Tampa 2. They were just Warren Sapp, John Lynch, Derek Brooks, all those guys. They were just killers, and they were going up against the Bears, who were starting their third string quarterback, Henry Burns. Have you guys heard of him? No. There's a reason.
No. Is that the guy from The Simpsons?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. That whole game, the guy was running for his life. And this was a touchdown and like sacks. And this was that not a lot of points were scored. It was 28 to 27. We were down by 1 point. All we needed was one more. This guy had thrown four interceptions and he'd been sacked once. I needed him to get sacked one more time, do a fumble, do an interception. I needed him to do something. He dropped back to pass a whole bunch of times in the second half because they were down 15-0 and we didn't get a bonus for a shutout. And then all of a sudden he kept going back to pass and he was just under siege the whole game. What happens? He kept falling for 1 yard. It must have been a half dozen times he fell for 1 yard, and I ended up losing by 1 point the championship. Yes. And that was a winner take all league. So I was just like that one just it still sticks. 18 years later, it still sticks.
And there's plenty of stories too of those games where people lose by 0.1 point, 0.3 points. So I'm sure we'll definitely be getting into those as the season goes along.
Plenty of those coming.
Yeah, we'll
definitely have plenty of corazón roto because we all have them. And hey, you know what? Why don't you listeners, our familia community, if you guys have any, why don't you send them to us through the website or send them through a tweet. But first, let's get into some chisme.
Let's go.
So, Big Ben, he gets into what does he have to do to get a haircut? Then he has to start that tweet. Wasn't that tweet like something crazy?
Yeah,
it was pretty cool. It definitely got me hyped for Big Ben, especially seeing everyone's retweets, or at least seeing them reply to him. So I thought it was pretty cool. I'm getting excited for him, but it's like it's tough because it's just like it's propaganda, you know. I don't want to get too excited by it.
Totally.
We'll see.
You think, heck? Did you get a charge out of seeing him throwing a juju?
No, for sure. I mean, you know, anytime you see Big Ben out in the field, it's good. I mean, especially if he's on my team. So, you know, if I pick him up, you know, that's great. If he's not on my team, I'm definitely going to be rooting against him, whoever else has him. So, but no, it's always good. You know, Big Ben's been around a long time. You know, I'm sure we're all big fans of his. So, you know, hoping for a speedy recovery and he gets in the field real quick.
I thought it was crazy. I saw after that tweet later in the day, that the governor of Pennsylvania actually kind of gave him a hard time, saying, what are you doing getting a haircut? Nobody's supposed to be getting a haircut right now. So, I'm like, did you get a look at him? The dude, he looked like a caveman. He needed it. So, And then, you know, and then the other one was Aaron Rodgers had an interesting conference call with the media on Friday, which is always an interesting day to have one of those conference calls, because those are the kind of things that, you know, as me as a former PR person in a front office, it was always interesting to have those on those days, because that's kind of like when you bury that kind of, you know, any kind of news. But Aaron Rodgers, he let loose some. You know, some things that may, you know, probably had some people thinking about what was going on in his mindset.
No, for sure. I think that one of the interesting things that he said was that he had a good relationship with Jordan Love, that it's not, you know, he understands the Packers picked up Love as a business move, that, you know, it's a, you know, NFL's a billion-dollar organization, billion-dollar industry, you know, $10 billion, I think the NFL is worth. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a professional. He understands that the guys up top are going to pick up Jordan Love. They need to set the roster today and also plan for the future. So that's all it was. He gets it. He said the day after the draft that he talked to Love, that they had a good conversation, they had a good chat, and that he even said, I thought it was very interesting, that he actually has had really good relationships with all of his backup quarterbacks, you know, throughout his career, and that he's still friends with a lot of them. So the guy's a consummate pro. I think a lot of times the media makes him out to be a bad guy. But I think based on, you know, hit the conference call, it seems like he's actually kind of a down to earth, kind of cool dude.
I don't know. I mean, it sounds like he's just tooting his own horn at that point. I mean, what relationship can you really build with Jordan Love? Meanwhile, this whole quarantine and all he has is the phone. It's not like he's throwing next to him and talking to him that much, but I mean, hey, I think Aaron Rodgers is just going to say that for now. Dude's been in front of the media hundreds of times. He's just going to talk and talk. And I know he looks down to earth and everything, but the guy is such a smart guy. Yeah. So I think he's still watching his back and watching the guy. I just think he knows not to let the media catch on to anything. So he's going to sugarcoat a lot, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's a smart guy. He knows what not to say. And I'm sure, you know, in talking to his media relations people, he was able to decipher what other guys have been asking about, other guys being reporters, men and women in the media. So I don't think he's going to make a mistake right in front of the media. He's going to be very measured in what he says. You know, I listen to some of the answers, and he does a good job of not answering the question in a and not fanning the flame.
Yeah, a little bit of politics there.
Yeah, and I think he's kind of sending a message that he's not going to make a big deal out of this, which I thought was very intelligent for him, because now he's not going to get asked about it 100 times during the season.
Sure.
I thought it was good that he brought up the relationships that he had with his past backups. That was, I think, important.
Yeah.
And it also kind of shows that guys do end up picking up stuff from the other, from you know, it's not straight mentorship all the time that the starter has over the second string guy. Sometimes it's just, you know, talking, you know, this is what I'm seeing right now, and guys pick something up, you know, very similar to kind of the way Rodgers got learned from Favre. And, you know, he talked about how his relationship grew with Favre. So I thought it was good that he handled it that way, and I really hope it gets squashed, because I don't want to hear about this. I'd rather hear about
it. Oh, come on. You don't want drama.
If it was, you know what, if it was Massachusetts, if it was New York, or if it was Philadelphia, then he'd be getting asked about it all the time. But, you know, the Green Bay media is going to be pretty easy on him once the season starts. I predict that.
Yeah.
I think that's the one guarantee, and that's why I think exactly why you should get a sugarcoat everything.
Yeah. And you know, the other interesting thing that I thought he talked about was the receivers, that the non-Devontae Adams receivers. He's had some nice things to say about St. Brown, MVS.
Yeah, Lazard. I thought that was interesting. Yeah, definitely.
Lazard King.
Yeah, Lazard King.
Jim Morrison Lynch. Do you think they're going to actually – I mean, of course he's going to talk them up, but do you think they're actually going to be worth having on your team as like a wide receiver too if you have MVS? Are you happy with that?
Well, you know what? It wouldn't be the first time that somebody like that has blown up. I mean, look at Devontae Parker last year. I mean, I think it was what, like year four and then he had that extraordinary second half last year where he looked like a total wide receiver one. Thank you, Fitzmagic.
Right.
I think they want somebody to come up. I think the fact that they didn't draft anybody, somebody is going to have to come up. I think we got to watch for them. Maybe see if somebody, if they're not picked, if somebody has a good first week, maybe it's somebody to speculate and do a pick on. So I'm keeping an eye on this offense, even though I do think they're going to be running the ball more.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, like you said, Devontae, MVS, Alan Lazard, Aaron Jones there in the backfield. I think the Packers offense is going to be definitely one to watch.
Well, speaking of running, let's get into Caballos, boys.
Let's go. Number one. That's your guy, Rick. You had him last year, Rick. Tell us about Christian McCaffrey, our top guy, our top consensus. I think everyone's consensus for the most part, number one running back for the coming year.
I think it's one of those where it's like the dude owned it last year. How are you going to take it away from him? You know what I mean? Yep. It's just how I felt last week about the quarterbacks. Yeah, of course you got to take Mahomes over to Lamar Jackson. He owns it. You know what I mean? Until he's dethroned. Like, the guy's a powerhouse. Same thing goes with Christian McCaffrey. What I love about Christian McCaffrey is how he talks about Bruce Lee and how he tries to flow like water and everything. It just it makes me love the guy more. I remember watching, I believe it was Ed McCaffrey, his father, play for the Broncos because my dad's a huge Broncos fan. And the guy was a little weasel. I hated watching him play. So to watch Christian McCaffrey play, it's just like, oh, the dude's so elusive. I believe he had 403 touches or something like that.
Yes.
But the guy's going to be massive crazy. He's got Teddy Bridgewater to help throw him the ball. And I don't know. It's like, what's going to be different than last year? They're still going to feed him the ball like crazy. They're not going to be enticed to throw more often. So I don't think teams are going to catch on to McCaffrey. I don't think it's anything like how you saw last year. Kamara was just contained.
Right.
I think McCaffrey is just, how can you skip on him? You know what I mean?
You can't. And I mean, that's the reason that I took Kamara last year. I thought Cam Newton was going to go down soon, you know, very early on in the season with an injury, which he did.
And then, right. You were 100% right.
Who was the backup? Kyle Allen was the backup QB or that came in to Carolina to carry the load. I think there was a good amount of people out there, myself included, and I think a lot of the Familia team that was like, you know what, if Newton goes down, there's no way that McCaffrey's going to have any kind of good year with Kyle Allen, you know, behind center. And, you know, it just proved everybody wrong. McCaffrey is a beast, and I think he's, you know, if you're breaking down the running backs into tiers, you know, tier one, tier two, tier three, et cetera, I think McCaffrey's in his own tier, and then everybody else falls in number two and so forth. Yeah. McCaffrey he's just a monster.
Yeah, he's all by himself. I mean, 1,000, 1,000, rushing and receiving. I mean, only three guys have done that. Roger Craig, Marshall Faulk before him. I went back and I looked at their numbers the following season. Faulk came close and also ended up setting an NFL record for touchdowns. Craig fell way off. You know, I'm looking at the fact that McCaffrey's 24 and there's nobody else who's a clear number one, you know, more on the outside.
Right.
He's going to be good and he's going to get a lot of balls thrown his way. But I wouldn't be surprised if McCaffrey became the clear number one overall running back in fantasy. I honestly look at him a lot like Ricky, you'll love this, a lot like LaDainian Tomlinson and during his run. You know, when he was a dominant player, I just he was fantastic every year for about a 4 or 5 year run. Emmitt Smith was that guy before, and I could see, you know, McCaffrey being like going into year three of that kind of run. So, you know, I'm not going to think twice about it. I'm picking him number one. The only I hope he's healthy. I think, you know, he runs low to the ground so he doesn't get hit hard a lot, and he's going to get the ball a lot. I wouldn't be surprised to see another 100, another 400 touches for him, and he's going to be phenomenal.
And he got over 100 receptions last year. He had 116. If you're doing PPR, that's 100 extra points you got on your team that season. So, oh, how could you not skip on this guy? Or how could you skip on this guy?
Right. No. Agreed. I think the consensus is the consensus number one for McCaffrey. I think definitely number one.
So then you who know, falls to number two?
Number two. Heck, what are you thinking of the guy at number two?
Saquon Barkley. A lot of debate there. Yeah, I mean, the thing about fantasy, we've talked about this with fantasy, is there's a pretty good element of luck. Saquon was also consensus number two, I think, for the majority of, you know, fantasy football players. Number two pick, Saquon Barkley, number two running back, or at least top three. But I'm not convinced this year. He had he got hurt last year, and you know he fell pretty far down the list as far as production. I have to wait and see. And I'm not convinced again this year. I'm not convinced. Although when he's healthy, the guy's a monster and he gets yards in chunks. We'll see how it goes. What did I have him at?
You had him number three.
I had McCaffrey. I had Barkley at number three. Okay. We'll have to wait and see. If he stays healthy, I'm okay with that. But we'll have to wait and see. Daniel Jones at QB. Again, we'll have to wait and see. But
I hate that you have to worry about injuries or anything. It's like you can't bank on that.
I know, and that's the thing, is you can't bank on injuries in fantasy. But you know, as long as Barkley can stay healthy, you know, I definitely pick him up early for sure.
Oh yeah, I would, because if he can stay healthy and he can be just like his rookie season, oh, this guy's gonna be crazy. And I think he's got a team that's doing nothing but growing. So I think, this guy's going to be a powerhouse. I love the way he runs. I love the way he runs, only second to McCaffrey. So he's in the perfect spot for me. If he can do the same thing he did somewhat last year and get another 400 or 500 reception yards, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yep.
Yeah. I think he's the only guy who can really challenge McCaffrey for the number one spot. If they're both play 16 games and are both, just the guy with no injuries or anything like that. I mean, I remember when he injured his ankle. I mean, it looked a lot worse than it was. And then he's saying he's going to be back in a month. And I'm like, usually ankle injuries take about a month and a half, 6 weeks or so. So I was really tempering my enthusiasm. I was lucky I didn't have him on any of my teams. But I was when he came back, he didn't look like himself. He didn't look like he had that same explosiveness. And it wasn't until the end of the season. I remember week 15, that was the first time he got 100 yards. And then week 16, championship week. If you had him on your team championship week, you got 189 yards rushing and another 90 yards receiving and a pair of TDs. So, I'd be happy to get, we'd end up with the number two pick and probably take him, even though I think, picks 2 through 5, you could probably even shake them up and end up with a stellar pick either way.
Yeah. That's a good tier two, tier one McCaffrey, tier two is you got Barkley and Henry and Zeke and Cook. So I think I would agree with that. Any one of those guys in your tier two, I think you're in good shape.
And we got Zeke. He was a pretty good number. He was number three on our rankings. Heck, you had him at number five on this one. Ricky and I both had him at number three. What made you put him at number five?
It wasn't necessarily anything against Zeke. And again, it's anything 2 through 5. Those guys are all really, really tight. That was just my personal picks. I like Derrick Henry. I even had Derrick Henry up at number two. And then Dalvin Cook. I'm just like a super fan of Dalvin Cook over there on the Vikings. So that's probably the only reason that, for me, Zeke fell down to number five. But again, to your point, 2, 3, 4, 5, you can kind of mix any of these guys up in any order. And I think you're perfectly fine with any of those guys. I think the Cowboys are going to be good. Ezekiel Elliott, what can you say? The guy, he's just a beast. He's a bruiser. He's going to give you tons and tons of production every year. I don't have any problem with picking up Zeke, you know, early and often in my, you know, different leagues that I'm going to be
caballo.
In.
What,
yeah, last year was a big question mark with Zeke. It was, you know, he was holding out and everyone was like, oh my God, what's he going to do? And so this year, no such luck. You know, Zeke is going to be on the board. So if you can pick him up early and often, like I said, definitely grab him. Number three, Zeke, no problem.
Yeah, and I think it's hard to put him anywhere else. Dude's been a workhorse. He's been the caballo of the Cowboys, and I hate them so much. But I got to give them credit. They got a good player right there. Every time he plays, you're worried about him catching the ball and taking it up for long yardage. He's just I hate to give him any credit for it. But, yeah, I mean, the guy's money, and he's consistent. That's what I love about it. Yep. He averages over 300 rushing attempts every season. So even though he doesn't always play every season because his behavior off the field, hey, if he can stay a good boy, then he's going to get you half yardage. So he's just one of the ones you're like, he's guaranteed going to get the rock in his arm, so go with him.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a high-powered offense. You know, he's not going to you've got to respect the wide receivers on that team. You got to respect Dak. So he's not going to see a loaded box. He's got a great offensive line. He's still young. He turns 25 this year. You know, I they always say to worry about the running backs when they run the ball 300 plus times. And he did do it his first four seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see him hitting that running back cliff for anytime soon. I think he's a guy you ride him hard and you pick him in the top five and you just, you don't even think about it. You just don't even think about it. I think, you know, I wonder what Mike McCarthy as a new coach, how that'll be, because it seemed like he never liked to commit to a single running back the last few years at Green Bay, but he didn't have Zeke Elliott at that time.
That's exactly. Who has McCarthy had the last few years? Eddie Lacy. He's had Ty Montgomery, you know, so yeah, he has not had anyone the likes of Ezekiel Elliott. I think he's gonna like handing the ball to Ezekiel Elliott for sure.
Don't remind me about Eddie Lacy. That guy ate himself out of the league.
It's crazy because as big as Eddie Lacy was, I remember Derrick Henry standing next to Eddie Lacy. Seeing a picture of it one year, and I was just like, wow. As big as Eddie Lacy was, and then Derrick Henry was standing next to him. I saw a picture. It was like, you don't realize how big Derrick Henry is. It was pretty incredible. Like, the guy's just a beast.
Well, Derrick Henry's built like a Greek guy. Eddie Lacy has eaten himself into a Greek tragedy. So.
But unfortunately, we don't even have Derrick Henry at number four. We got the guy who surprised a lot of people. Yes, Dalvin Cook. I mean, I didn't even have him on my radar last year. I didn't think he was going to do anything. But, I mean, for what? The 14 games that he played, he looked like one of the best top choices, at least their top three. And I think just him getting injured and also him with not a lot of drops, but 9 drops last season. I think that's why a lot of people don't have him in the top three. I think the top three are solid. But otherwise, if Dalvin Cook can just improve a little bit, that dude's going to be top three for sure next season.
Yeah, I had him 2 years ago, and he went off until he had like a pretty bad injury. I remember he went down and he was out for I think the remainder of the season. But those first games when I had him, he really did. He was incredible. And I remember last year I wanted him last year. I didn't get him, so that's why I got my eye on him again this year. I mean, he's had an amazing year. 5 of the first 7 games he played, he went for over 100 yards. Dalvin Cook will get yards in chunks. TDs in chunks, so I'm definitely looking out for him. At number four, awesome pick.
Yeah, one thing, I had an eye on him last year because last year was his first full year after having his first full year after recovering from ACL surgery.
Right, so exactly.
You always look for that second year when the guy, and you know, that was part of what was holding him and keeping him out of the game the previous year, that he wasn't completely recovered. So he's having little setbacks here and there. He was phenomenal. And he was, after McCaffrey, I think he was the best running back until he had a shoulder injury. That's actually a little bit less worrisome. He didn't have a knee or leg injury last year, so has you thinking that he's going to be healthy. The Vikings love to run the ball. Their passing attempts went down dramatically, and I think it was because of this guy, and I think they're going to keep feeding him. He's another young guy. Looks like he's completely recovered from that knee injury, and I think he's going to be – I think he's a great pick in the top five. Great. And, you know, for PPR, 53 receptions last year. He is a guy to keep an eye on. Because, you know, he's going to score from a lot of different ways. I think he ended up with 13 total TDs. So definitely a good player, to watch. You know, we talked about the Greek god himself. Heck, you had Derrick Henry, number two overall.
Yes.
So we call him Caballo with all capitals.
Yes. I'm a huge fan of Derrick Henry. You know, Derrick Henry, I was thinking about it today. It's kind of like, you know, when you go to Vegas and you're sitting at the roulette table and you bet on red and then it's black and then you bet on red again and then it's black. So then you finally bet on black and then it's red. That's what happened to me with Derrick Henry. The last two years ago, I had Derrick Henry and he didn't do much for me. So last year I didn't draft him and last year was the year that he blew up. So, but huge fan. I've been watching Derrick Henry ever since he came out of Alabama and I've been a huge fan. Last year, even more of a reason why I definitely want him this year in all my leagues, whatever, if ever I can get Derrick Henry, I'm going all in on Derrick Henry. Last year, at the end of the year, we saw Tannehill blow up with AJ Brown and that offense just exploded. Henry went bananas and that opened up offense. His DFS value went through the roof. So I had Derrick Henry at number two. There's a possibility in my mind that Derrick Henry could be number one overall running back this year. As much as I love McCaffrey, I'm keeping an eye on Henry, and I would not be surprised if he's number one overall RB this year.
And I love that you love him at number two because when he's good, he's friggin' hot.
Yes.
But, I mean, what sucks about his current situation is just if they're not explosive, if they're not in the lead and they fall behind, he's not going to get as many points. I believe, like, 33% of his games, a third of them, he got like under 12, 15 points, which is just not good if he's going to be your RB1. So his team needs to actually have the lead. And last year they were good, so they had the lead and they could just rely on him. And they did just gave him the rock and pounded it in. That's why he was dominant. And plus, he was the only one. So they need two things to happen this year. They need to keep lead so that he can keep going. Because if they fall behind, it's going to be Ryan Tannehill all day. And we all know Ryan Tannehill. Yeah, he's good. But the dude can suck too.
Yeah, so, down the homes.
So, I mean, and if what sucked last year as a Derrick Henry owner, I had him in every league last year. I got him early. I just knew the guy was going to be hot this year as soon as he got the ball to himself. Sorry, Heck, you don't know.
I know.
But it's okay. and he was my RB2 to McCaffrey, so I rocked it last year.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that was my third championship. We'll talk about it later. but other than that, it's like Derrick Henry, if he can catch the ball too, because he doesn't run on third. He doesn't do third downs. And it's sad to watch because they're such a fun team to see because he can be explosive at times. They don't use him on third downs that much. They got Deion Lewis, who's useless in fantasy. And it's just like, come on, Derrick Henry, learn to catch the ball. You're so friggin' huge. Your hand just barely, you could catch it between your fingers. Like, learn to do that. And your fantasy value is going to go up like 10-20%, and he's going to be better than McCaffrey. But he's got to learn how to catch the ball. He looks so goofy out there with the ball catching it. But, I mean, that's kind of like a blessing to see, too, because he's a monster.
Yeah,
this is Monstro. Maybe instead of Caballo, we'll call him Monstro.
There you go.
He does look like Godzilla out there, you know, when he's just like batting down, you know, when he's like stiff arming guys and it looks like he's Godzilla just, you know, destroying the buildings and everything like that. You know, the one thing that I like about him, I mean, there are people who worry about, you know, all the carries that he had last season, but that last year was really the first time he had a heavy carry season. I mean, he had one at Alabama, but he didn't even have a lot of carries his non-Heisman year because they always had like two running backs who were going to be NFL players. So. Right. I think Henry, they know that they're using him. He's on a one. He got the franchise tag, so he's on a year-to-year contract essentially. So I think they're just going to hand him the ball a ton and just get out of the way and just, you know, he's got a lot of tread left on the Yanta. And he's a beast near the goal line. So
he's just like a true Forrest Gump. He's from Alabama. I feel like he's not even thinking about his contract. He's just like, give me the rock.
Yeah, defensive guys are afraid to tackle Derrick Henry. I mean, it's kind of like publicly known that you're going to tackle a running back. You know, these DBs, if there's a running back that no one wants to tackle, it's Derrick Henry. The guy's just like he just steamrolls through people. So. Be fun to watch.
No, I think you know what? I think this is kind of where the tier ends, as far as the two through five, because next the next.
I don't know though, because there are some sneaky people in the next four or five that I feel could easily crack the top five. But I think as far as solids, yes, I think that's definitely the end of the solid caballos.
Solid picks.
Your conchas.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, Aaron Jones is our number six guy. First time he ever got the ball as the lead back. Hector, I mean, what are your thoughts on them?
He's done well. I could have picked Aaron Jones. He was on my list last year, coming around the curve there for the second round. I ended up picking up Travis Kelce, but Aaron Jones was on my list to pick up after Alvin Kamara. I wasn't able to grab him, but I would have. I'm a fan of Aaron Jones, especially I think we talked about a little bit earlier with, Aaron, anytime you're in the Aaron Rodgers offense, you're going to be okay. He had 1,000 yards last year, 474 yards receiving. I'm a fan of Aaron Jones. Again, like you said, he kind of starts out the second, or the third tier, rather, of running backs. So, he's bunched up there with Kamara and, a couple other guys that we're going to be talking about, Josh Jacobs, Nick Chubb, et cetera. So, but yeah, a solid pick. Again, Green Bay Packers offense, you can't go wrong with Aaron Jones. Again, I would have picked him up in the second round last year. He had a great year, great production for fantasy. So, yeah, at number six, no problem with Aaron Jones.
Enrique, you had him at 11, though.
I mean, I just don't like the guy. You guys talked about someone that who it reminds me of is like Eddie Lacy and how just disappointing he was. And I just can't help but think eventually Aaron Jones is going to be disappointing. And that's why, yes, this is definitely the second tier, because he is not someone that I feel comfortable with the way I do when I smell some conchas. But he's just, I don't know. Last year was his career high in touchdowns and yardage and targets, but they went through so much last year, and this year the Green Bay is going through trying to maybe make the wide receivers bloom more, and Aaron Jones still has Jamal Williams behind him, so it's like, I don't know. I don't think Aaron Jones is going to keep up the pace. I think eventually, I don't know. I think either Aaron Rodgers flourishes or Aaron Jones does, and I don't know. I just don't like the guy. He gives me uncomfortable feelings.
But don't you think it's part of last year, some of the struggles the Packers had were the fact that Matt LaFleur was the new guy and Aaron Rodgers was kind of getting used to it. I mean, the whole Packers offense was new. They were just kind of getting used to this whole new system under Matt LaFleur. And I think once things got going, I think Aaron Jones had a solid year. What do you think, George? You think that had any impact on the Packers season last year?
Oh, I think it totally did. I think he was the safety valve for them, kind of like the guy that they could check down to when need be. It was clear that they wanted to run the ball. And I had Aaron Jones in our Familia League. I actually traded for him. And the one thing that was interesting about him was that he kept having blow up games. And then he would be quiet like a week, the next week or the week after. So like he had one game where a couple games where he had 4 and 3 touchdowns. Week 16, he went for 154 and 2 TDs, but then he'd have the quiet weeks. So that's what has me kind of tempering the enthusiasm for him. I think he's the clear number one there. Yes, I think Jamal Adams will kind of take some carries off him. Maybe AJ Dillon will too, but as long as Aaron Jones stays healthy, which was a question mark before last year, So that's one thing to keep an eye on, is he going to stay healthy? So that's the thing that's the only thing that worries me about Aaron Jones. I think he's the guy to get the workload, and I think he's a free agent after this season. So I think Green Bay has every reason to just hand him the ball a whole bunch.
Right. Right. Just run him into the ground kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, he ended up with 236 carries last year. So
right.
I wouldn't be surprised if it ended up with that, maybe just a little bit more. So I like him, but I don't know if I'm going to, I may wait until the second round. I may grab a receiver before him.
Right, right.
So number seven is a guy who was a darling on so many draft boards and kind of let people down, the lack of a better term. I think he didn't score a touchdown between Alvin Kamara. He didn't score a touchdown between like week one and like week 15 or something like that.
Yeah. And when you say he let people down, he let me down. I'm that guy. I'm sure a lot of people in fantasy, a lot of fantasy players were gravely disappointed in Alvin Kamara's performance last year. It was such a big drop in production from, he went down to six TDs that he had last year when he was just putting up double digits the previous 2 years. And I've had Kamara on my team, last couple of years on several teams, and he's putting up big numbers. That Saints offense is explosive. Michael Thomas, Drew Brees. And even when Kamara had Mark Ingram in the backfield with him a couple of years back, he was still able to put up big numbers. So you knew, last year the idea was that Ingram was gone and Kamara was going to kind of take over the backfield for the Saints last year. And, he ended up getting injured and he wasn't really playing. Even when he was playing, he really just kind of wasn't. You knew that if you were a Kamara fan and you were a Kamara owner watching him run around there, you knew that something just wasn't right with him. This year, hopefully, he's had, obviously a chance to recover and to heal up. And if Alvin Kamara is healthy, I have no problem. If we have him as a consensus pick number seven, I wouldn't have any problem picking him higher than that. I have him at, what do I have him at? I had Alvin Kamara.
Number eight.
I had him at eight. So, I mean, he's right in there. Obviously coming off of the injury, that's a concern. So, if he could be healthy, I love me some Alvin Kamara.
Exactly.
Yeah, I told people, if I don't have a team, I'm a fantasy player. I don't have a team. But if I had to have a team, it would be the Saints. Because I generally have at least one Saint or two on my teams every year. So, love to Alvin Kamara for sure.
And I think you're right there. Kamara, he needs to be healthy and healed, which, hey, we can't predict that. But other than that, I think he needs consistency. The Saints last year just weren't consistent. Their injuries were happening at bad times.
Yep.
Yeah, they still had Teddy Bridgewater, but nah, Kamara's a creature of consistency. The running game always is. So I think we have him way low. I love him. I put him at number five ahead of Derrick Henry. Because Kamara is still a killer when you can throw him the ball. So I think he's going to be sneaky. It's a great steal. I think if you can get him at the seventh running back, if you can get him at the end of the first round, oh my goodness, I think you got a steal right there. But, I mean, it's tough. I hate to down a guy because his numbers went down because of an injury last year. I think Kamara should have been a top four this year, but there's just so many good running backs.
Right.
The thing that I find interesting with him is he's a guy who has never gotten 1,000 yards, but he's been a top five either player or pick each of his three seasons. He scores so many touchdowns, either through the air, and he gets his share of goal line work. Mm-hmm. He's a guy, he's a blow up kind of guy. The thing that I think is really cool about him, he's such a threat out of the backfield in the passing game. 81 receptions 3 years in a row. So he's going to get the ball. And I look at him, I think he is a weapon. I like the fact that he did not need surgery on his, on the leg injuries that he had last year. So he's able to heal up. I think he could very much be a guy who bounces back into that top five.
And easily.
Yeah, I would not be surprised for sure.
Yeah, I would not be shocked if he jumped back into double digit touchdowns.
Just gotta prove it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just health with him. Honestly, I think it's just health. And he's gonna be just fine. Another guy is our guy at number eight. you know, the only second year guy, I believe, who is jumping into that that top 10. He had his injury issues. Josh Jacobs. Let's see where everybody had him. We had him in number 8, but did anybody have him low? No, we all had him. You know, Ricky, you and I had him at number 9. Hector, you had him at number 7. What are your thoughts on him putting him so far?
I'm just a fan of Josh Jacobs. Just watching him run, the guy's just, he's just a beast. When he's been healthy, the guy just gets yards in chunks. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, 20 balls last year. I see big things from the Raiders offense this year. I've talked about it before. I think this is the year Carr can finally put something together, open up the passing game, which is even a better situation for Josh Jacobs in the Raiders backfield. I see big things coming from Josh Jacobs this year at number 8. Definitely a good pick.
And I think you're right. There's a lot of good things to like about him. I love how he's a downhill, you know, runner, knock into people. But the downside to him, I mean, I hate that he had the shoulder injury last year. I mean, not to get personal, but hey, I got a shoulder injury. That thing still lingers. But then again, I don't got million-dollar athletic trainers to help me train my shoulder.
Cortisone shots. Yeah.
But I mean, that's how the guy runs. He puts his head down. He just uses his shoulders. What I don't like about him, if you're PPR, is dude only got 20 receptions last year, 166 yards. I mean, he, if you get him, it's purely because he's a runner, you're in a running league, and he's beneficial that way. But if you're PPR, ooh, this guy's outside of your top 10. But because this is just pure fantasy, oh, I love the fact that he's the only one getting the ball. He's going to run it, and he's going to run it down their throat, and Gruden's going to love doing it.
You know, if he gets 16 games in, which I really hope for, I think he's a guy who could really jump up. The one thing that I saw a note recently, Mike Mayock, the GM, mentioned that he wants to see them have Jacobs be more involved in the running game. I mean, in the passing game.
Yep.
So if he gets an uptick there, if that's not just you know blowing a smoke screen from the GM. If he really sees some balls coming his way, because Derek Carr does not like to throw the ball deep. So if he checks down to Jacobs a lot and he plays 16 games, he's another guy who could take a leap up there, because I think they're going to be a high powered offense. Their defense, I don't think, got much better. So they're going to be in some shootouts. I mean, look at the teams they're in the division with. Everybody's going to score points. Mm-hmm. So he's going to get opportunities both running and receiving. So I think he's a guy to keep an eye on. You know, our next guy, Nick Chubb, we had quite the disparity on him. We were all over the place. Ricky, where'd you have number 17? Explain yourself. Explain, Lucy.
Words. Kareem Hunt. And that right there is where, I mean, he still plays for the Browns, right?
He does.
Yep.
So, I mean, when you look at another big thing about Chubb, do you guys happen to know how many receiving touchdowns he had last season?
No, how many?
0. So that makes me not want him at all. He's not the guy who they're going to throw on third down. He's going to start being their first and second down back. Kareem Hunt's going to always eat that third down. And Kareem Hunt's so good, he's going to start taking other downs other than that. And it's a great thing to have if you're a fan of the Browns. It's a bad thing to have if you have either Hunt or Chubb on your team. And I hate committees. And this is like the first guy we see on our list that's part of a committee, and it's like, oh, if we could only put him further down, guys, come on. Oh, as a 7-time champion and all, I'm telling you, committees kill running backs. It's just horrible. That's why Derrick Henry was never good. He was part of a committee. So
it's
just Chubb is good. He's got the skill. He'll be the guy who runs it down the throats. But Kareem Hunt's going to eat up everything else. And it's just like, I don't want to be part of that. Get away.
No, I don't disagree. I don't disagree with that. And you know, I think a lot of prognosticators, you know, if you're you know, snooping around on Instagram and you know, these other social media platforms, Facebook and Twitter, you're going to see a lot of guys have Chubb way up high. And I think to your point, I think maybe a lot of guys don't really have Kareem Hunt that high. Either that or they don't see him as a threat as much as you say that he's going to be. So I guess we're going to have to see how much of a threat Kareem Hunt is and if it actually is going to be a committee. For whatever reason, you know, the lists that I'm seeing have Chubb way up high. So there seems to be something kind of buzzing out there that leads folks, you know, in the know, these talking heads and these, you know, professional prognosticators, you know, to think that Kareem Hunt's not really going to be a threat to Nick Chubb for whatever reason.
And yeah, you gotta consider that because, you know, they got the new coach Stefanski, who was the offensive coordinator for the Vikings, and they wanted to run the ball. So, and the interesting thing is, remember how much run Alexander Mattison would get even when Dalvin Cook had big games? So that has me thinking that it could be that we could have games like that. I mean, it's going to depend on how the offense is running and really how the defense is holding things down. If the defense locks things down, I could see it being the Chubb and Hunt show. This is a guy that worries. This is the only guy in the top 10 that worries me because, Ricky, I think you could be, you very much could be right.
I will.
He could
right.
Fall. That's a good thing why we have these on the website. So we can look back on these, you know, back in January.
It's just one of those things where it's like, why would you want to be part of a committee when you can have someone as solid as the guy we got number 10, Austin Eckler? Someone who you know is getting the volume, someone who they have to give the ball every time. Ugh, Chubb just like disgust. I hope you guys draft him in front of me.
I think
go ahead.
No, I was gonna say the other thing to think about is that will the Browns be playing from behind? You know, I think that we've talked about Baker Mayfield and the Browns offense, and if the Browns are. Yeah, if the Browns come out to a comfortable lead and jump out and they have a strong lead on folks, yeah, they can lean on the running game a little bit and give Chubb the ball a little bit and Hunt the ball a little bit. But if the Browns are playing from behind, they're going to be airing it out, and that's probably even less work.
Here's the problem with the Chubb. Browns. Their team is very wannabe Showtime. With OBJ, Baker Mayfield, even Kareem Hunt, they want to put on a show, and it's just like I think they all want to be the star. So they're all going to try too hard. And that's what happened last year. They sucked last year. Any person on the team besides Chubb was the lone bright spot. But I just think you have way too many personalities on that team and not enough talent to make those personalities glow. It's just they sucked last year so
much. They don't have
much.
Phil Jackson. They don't have the Zen Master as a coach.
That's what they need. Because yeah. Right now, these guys rather be a I saw more commercials of Baker Mayfield, remember, than yes. Actually highlights of him. So I don't think his running game is going to do any better until they tame him. And you got to tell Baker Mayfield, hey, we're going to just run. Can he deal with that? I mean, is he going to be cool with that? Probably not.
I doubt it.
Are they going to be cool with that? Yeah. Because that means less balls thrown to OBJ. So it's just like, I don't want to be part of that at all. Please get him.
Well, Ricky, I don't think you're going to be waiting long to grab our number 10 pick because he's your guy, Austin Eckler.
And he's my guy, but you guys got to remember, I get disappointed easily. So because I'm actually a Charger fan, and because I'm a cheap bastard, I love a good deal, I'll never select Eckler early, and I hate it because I never get Melvin Gordon because I'm always like, oh, the Chargers are going to disappoint me again. So I never get those players because I always value them less than what they're going for. So Eckler, I'm actually surprised we have him at 10 because I've seen other places have him as high as number 2. And what's interesting is this year he's the only guy getting the rock. And if there's anything I love, it's volume. And this guy's just – special. If there's any word you can use to describe him in a good way, it's special, right? Because he's tiny, he stays low to the ground, and he's quick. super quick to where he can do screens, but he's still got a body to where he can break it down in the middle. And I think the fact that he's going to be running behind Tyrod Taylor, they're going to rely on Eckler a lot more, and I just think he's ready for it. If no other backup running back throughout, you know, a career backup running back is more ready than Austin Eckler, and now he does not have to look over his shoulder at all, at all.
Hector, you had him at 17, so I think you had a little bit of a different opinion.
Oh yeah, I so again, and this may, yeah, and this may we may be, you know, seeing a pattern here with me. I'm thinking again that if Tyrod Taylor, you know, craps the bed, and we have Justin Herbert in at QB, how is that going to affect Austin Eckler? So that was my way of thinking. But again, thinking back to last year, that's what hurt me with not drafting McCaffrey. So I think this one may be a little one where I need to pay a little bit more attention to, maybe, and study a little bit more on, because yeah, Austin Eckler was a beast last year. You know, the guy, you know, like Rick said, the guy could do it all. He was coming, you know, he'd come out of the backfield, he can catch the ball. The guy was just explosive. So yeah, it might be might not be a bad idea to kind of reevaluate my pick there, Rick, and then maybe I'll just take him, and you'll still be disappointed if I take him and you don't.
And I'll tell you what, I'm going to go out on a limb. But last year I did a lot of research, obviously, I'm a smart guy. Heck, you believe in research. And I did my research on players who are going to beat their average draft position. And last year it was Derrick Henry. And I think this year the guy who's going to beat his average draft position is going to be Austin Eckler. You're going to be able to get him in the second round, and I think he's definitely going to be first-round talent by the end of the year. That's my guarantee.
You heard it here first.
Bingo. Okay, so here's a question for you, Rick, then. How is if Herbert comes over and takes over the offense, does that have any kind of impact on Eckler? Do you see that at all, or do you see it as a McCaffrey situation?
They're already going to rely on Eckler, so I feel like Eckler's already a team player. He's used to not having the spotlight on him. He just wants to make sure the team works well. So I'm excited to see him, you know, come into form, be the main guy. But I feel like he's not shy away from seeing Herbert start throwing the ball more, Tyrod Taylor throwing the ball more. It helps get the ball off his shoulders. But Eckler's got great shoulders to rely on. So I think it doesn't matter who's throwing. I mean, he's ran behind a good Rivers and a crappy Rivers, and he still got good numbers. So right. I don't think it matters. I think I don't want to say, is it like McCaffrey, because McCaffrey's amazing.
Right.
But I think that trait is still in him. Yes, he's going to run like a beast regardless.
Yeah, he could be kind of like a Kamara type, a guy who doesn't get 1,000 yards, but it still makes a big fantasy impact. The thing I think about, you know, heck, you brought up about Justin Herbert taking over as quarterback. One thing that I think we see a lot is when young quarterbacks take over, they seem to rely on two things. They seem to rely on the tight ends a lot and the running backs out of the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I think Eckler is going to keep. I mean, 92 receptions last year. I think he's, he's going to be a threat to do that again. I think he very well could go over 1,000 yards receiving. I'd like to see the rushing attempts go up. I mean, you know, Melvin Gordon's taking 162 attempts with him. So, and I think what he had, Eckler had 132 last season. If he gets over 200 rushing attempts next year, olvídate. I think he's gonna put together a Kamara type season.
How exciting is that gonna be to see next season, Melvin Gordon versus Eckler twice a year? Oh, I'm so excited. I already got tickets to the game. I'm excited.
Oh, that's awesome.
That'll be a good one. That'll be a good one for sure.
So I think that it looks like that's it for our rankings today, for our top 10. Our next episode is going to be our next 10, which is going to have a lot of debate, including the guy who tied Eckler for the 10th spot. We wanted to keep it to only 10 guys today. So plenty of discussion and arguments to be had over that.
Indeed.
Yeah, before we close, I'd love to encourage you to go to our Familia FFB website. You can see a little bit more of a breakdown on our top 10 running backs. We're going to have our rankings up there once we complete all of our rankings podcasts. Also going to have a little bit of a blog post on that was inspired by The Last Dance, where the one and only time I got to see Michael Jordan play live, and he did not disappoint. He dunked one time. He dunked one time. It was 1987. And well, you know, I actually found the entire game on there, and I noted where it's going to it was that he did the one dunk. And I tell you, I mean, it was at the Sports Arena. So this is late. It was Clippers and the Bulls. And you would have thought you were in Chicago the way people were cheering for Jordan that night. And he was only in his third year. So check it out on familiaffb.com. And for us, bueno, eso es todo for our show.
Gracias.
Thanks again to Anchor.fm for being our hosting network and making sure our Familia community gets this. So also don't forget to check us out on Twitter and Instagram at familiaffb.com. So and also look at our Facebook page. We're going to do a little bit of an update to that and do regular updates on that one. So, gracias. And remember, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.